These are the interviews of first Mrs. Ronalds and then Mr. Denny as part of Natasha McCafferty's HSC Australian History Option, recorded on the 13th of September 1991 at their homes in Upper Beaconsfield. Both are long-standing members of the Beaconsfield Baptist Church. In fact, Mrs. Ronalds and Mr. Denny belong to the original group of 26 Foundation members. Due to their long association with the church, they have been able to observe the many changes which have occurred over the years. The questions that I asked them were chiefly concerned with gaining knowledge on their views of why they think the church has grown over the last few years, the changes, if any, that they feel the church has undergone, and the role they think the church plays in the surrounding community. Before I conducted the formal interviews, I discussed my option with them both and talked about my questions and the issues I was trying to resolve. Although this placed them both at ease, Mrs. Ronalds was a little uncomfortable when she became aware that I was asking the questions for the formal interview. But both before and after the interview, she was fine and easily discussed the questions with me. Because the answers and opinions which she offered to me at this time were of a valuable nature, I have included them at the end of her interview. How many years have you been involved with the Beaconsfield Baptist Church?
About 21 years.
Was that, that include when it was in Berwick, as
yes,
the Berwick Church?
Yes.
What do you see as the main role of the church in the surrounding community?
That people might come to our church and experience for themselves the friendship and the youth group that's involved, for the young kids to get to know other young kids in the area.
Why would you see those as being the main roles?
Well, why I'd see that is because I would like people to know about Christ, and if they're not going to a church, I would like them to come and experience, at least they have an opportunity to say no if they don't want to, at least hear the word of God, and then they can please themselves.
In what ways, if any, has the church changed over the years?
It has got bigger in numbers. People have come and gone. I would say probably the growth in numbers. And probably too our position on the highway more than out the back to the little church.
It's more accessible there.
Yes, I think so. They can see it and they know it's there. They don't have to go on.
Do you believe that that's the most important change, the growth in numbers and the accessibility of the church, so to speak? Or do you think that perhaps they're not all that important, it's just being general growth?
I really don't think they're important. Perhaps being accessible to the highway might be, but I don't think that's important. I think the most important thing is for people, if they haven't got anywhere to go to worship, and that they would come and have some fellowship where they might be lonely or mightn't have anybody to talk to even. I would say that would be one of them.
To what do you attribute the growth the church in Beaconsfield has experienced over the last 3 years? For example, would you say that the growth in attendance numbers is a direct result of the local population growth, or do you think that the growth in attendance numbers is as a result of the growing faith in the community? And why would you say?
I would say the growth would probably be contributed a little bit to Make and Mingle on a Wednesday. For elderly people, I think they come and experienced people their same age. Some are elderly, some are young people with children, but it's a time they can get to know people in the local community and do a craft, and where there's no pressure put on them. And I think too, through the local youth group in the area, I think kids come and then they bring their parents. I don't think there's been a great growth through people coming to Berwick to live through just by coming to church.
So you think it's mainly people who've been non-established in the community who are
coming? No. I think it's new people, perhaps, but through coming to a craft where there's no pressure of a Sunday morning service, and through getting to know more people in the area.
That's all happened before.
Yes, mainly. I don't think it's other people moving in. I don't really think that's contributed to the growth of things.
Right. Thank you very much, Joel, for your time.
It's all right.
After I'd finished interviewing Mrs. Ronalds, she went on to talk about the make and mingle and other issues that are important to her in the church.
I honestly don't think it's through people moving into the area. I think people move in and perhaps they still go to work or whatever, but I would say that would be the two biggest reasons. Was the youth group. I don't know whether you've ever been to the youth group.
Yeah, I have. I know.
At least people can still be involved. We're not sort of such a, on a Wednesday morning. We get a good roll up, you know. Mm-hmm. Elderly, a lot of elderly, but then also ones with children that we mind in the crèche that get them away from the kids.
You might know my... Later on the same day as my interview with Mrs. Ronalds, I interviewed Mr. Denny. Mr. Denny has been interested in the church's history, and he talked to me at the beginning of the interview about the early years of the church and the problems they had trying to find an acceptable site for the church. This information was very useful to me, as a lot of it was not contained in the minute books, as the minute books only went back as far as 1972 and not 1968, like he was telling me about and the information sheet he provided me with.
Well, it was in 68 when I first started. I started in Berwick, of course, and there was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there was about 8 or 10 people there, and the minister from Elton, Alan Mann, came out. And it didn't get started till somewhere about 69, I think, and we had the first church services were in the home of the Stickneys in Evans Street in Berwick. And then it grew to such an extent that we had to move out, and we moved into the RSL Hall. It was about the first or second Sunday in March in 69 that we started in Stickley's home. And we went in 69 to the very RSL. And we had about 19 children in the Sunday school. And we got a lot of people in there, but people used to come and then go because it was a very sort of noisy place. The chairs were on, she wasn't up there at all. And the church people that came didn't like it because they wanted a more set service, you know, they wanted comfort more than the thing, so we lost a lot of people through that.
Did they come back?
No, when we lost them, they didn't come back. It was funny. And, they were, a lot of people came to the place and then we come for a week or four times. couple of scientists then disappeared, you could see them anymore. We didn't have a full-time minister until Reverend Williams, George Williams, where the man Bell, he was over, and he used to come over the week, during the week, and everything, take prayer meetings and that. Things work now.
I was just going to check. Yep. Yes.
And then we had this Mr. Bell, he sort of got the church going, and it was constituted, the council of the year was constituted, the same. That was in October the 31st, 71. It was, the church was constituted as a Baptist church, and it was, the thing was conducted by Reverend John Long, and there were 26 foundation members that were in it. Today, there's only three of us left. Oh, sorry, not family. There's only three of us left that first met in 68. That's my wife, myself, and I am a chap called John McLean. We were three original people that started the church. The foundation members were 26. They were a motley crowd. They came from the Brethren, from the Salvation Army, and all over the place, all the different clubs. And one man that used to attend with great interest was Dr. Langmore. He's one of the old identities of Derry.
Mm-hmm.
He used to come and dinner, you heard of him?
Yeah.
Well, he used to attend the Sunday morning service, and he didn't do all the landmark. He did join the church, but he was a regular attender there for many, many months. He's a very old man then. In fact, he used to stand on the Sunday morning when he stood up. He had his hymn book upside down, and I don't think he even had the number of the hymn, but he used to, you know, put it down. He went on there. Well, we progressed on then, and we decided that we needed to look for land. And I'm an estate agent, or I was an estate agent, and it was my task to find a lot of land. And we had some people come to the church by the name of Humes, and their daughter, Harris. They lived on the corner of Beaumont Road and Engels Road, and they had 3 acres. You can't tell you that?
I
was sort of, I was trying to block land. I went and saw them, and we paid the princely sum of $15,000 for the acre. That was that was in 72. And since ever we got out that we bought the land for a church, all the local people in the area of Beaumont Road all put a submission in objecting the fact that we wouldn't have a church there. Mind you, these are a lot of people that still go to the Church of England, the Church of Christ, but they didn't want to see a church anywhere near their homes. And after we did that, we decided that we needed to have a manse for a minister, and we bought a manse in, not Evans Street, the other street. St. Margaret Street, 21 St. Margaret Street, Bury the War of 1970, April of 73. And we actually finished paying for it in 76. We had a special effort to pay off the $3,000, and we did that in about 5 months. So we became owners of the church there. And we had George Williams, he was the part-time pastor. As I said, the facilities but there are so we're getting us down. It was a noisy place, and we had a Sunday morning service after the Aristotle had a night out there, and all the beer cans and that was still kicking around. It was, so we had to get there early, open all the windows to let the smell of beer out and smoke, and clear up all the empty bottles, and that was quite good.
You were there for quite a long time.
Yes, we were. November. Exactly the date, so we knew it through this afternoon, didn't we? And, although we had the land, we couldn't afford to build on it. And we were asked if we wanted to use the old church in Beaconsfield, the wooden place. Yeah, we I was at the meeting with the minister in Berwick, and I did what we paid rent for it, and then the chance came to buy the old church, and I think we bought it, I'm not sure on this, but I think it was about $35,000, and we bought the...
$2,000
and they asked for the church. Was it the old
church,
was it? The old church. It could have been, I can't remember the law I was in on or the thing, I couldn't remember the price we paid for.
$10 a week.
How much? Yeah, and that was a very nominal thing. And then, of course, we bought it. In the meantime, we had been looking for a place to build. Our idea was to get a good big block of land, to have a church and a mass on it, and also to have an old folks home. Because there was none in the area then. And we bought the land down Pink Hill. Pooh bought it from us. It's just over the Pink Hill, almost opposite the restaurant there. It was quite a carry on there because there was two blocks for sale, and we wanted one of them. Unfortunately, the first block went up, it had two houses on it, and we didn't really want have the houses there. We didn't want two houses, we wanted to build our own thing. But the secretary of the Baptist Union this one in case somebody buys a vacant block. But they didn't. And the vacant block was knocked down to us for $36,000. So in that Saturday morning, we had paid $78,000 for the land, one block which the Baptist Union didn't want. And Ken Ball, I saw him on the Monday, and he was quite upset that he bought two blocks of land. And I said, well, we'll sell it. I'd get my firm to sell it, and I reckon we'd make a profit. So we did, and we sold it afterwards. We made $9,000 profit. And we sold the block in Dumont Road. We made $23,000 out of that. So we made $30,000 in our dealings with the land, so that wasn't too bad. And we had this money sitting, and we sold the block really because we didn't think it was going to be any use out there. It seemed too far away from the people. It still is, if you know the block. It is still pretty isolated, and people that, like, who were getting the church now, elderly people that wouldn't be able to have got there unless they were taken. And, so we just sat tight and waited for the right thing to come along, and the service station became vacant. It was, I think it was option, I'm not sure, but I think the chap who bought it couldn't afford to go on with it, and so the old shelter, I don't know which company it was, had it, they were left with this place there, and I'm not sure, I don't know if it's in here, what we paid for it. It was only just a bit over $125,000, and you know, it was remarkable that no one else wanted it. No one seemed to be interested in that.
Yeah, I think
that was because the promo went through the back of the school, and that was the reason I didn't come in on it. And we contacted the company, not the Shell, but which company? It was an oil company. They set the price, which was extraordinarily cheap. I can't really remember the price. We bought it. And, well, I think you know the rest. We turned the old restaurant into a church. And it's quite a comfortable church. But we still intend now to build a big one in between the church and the old workshop. We put up the church there. We use the existing church for a community thing, I think the idea is. We feel we want to do more for the youth in the area. We're not doing enough of that at the moment, although we have youth pages now.
Although youth
pages as well. Our government has these youth pages. As I said, the idea is to try and get the youth off the streets and do something. We can't do too much, we haven't got all that spare money for them, but you know, we can use the services of the church to get them off the streets and some sort of work. It's a very friendly church. The people are very friendly. We get a lot of people coming in, and when they're asked, you know, I said, what made you come here? I said, well, the people are friendly. I think that is a sort of a trademark of the church, and they're caring too. If someone comes and has problems, they do go out of the way to help them in these problems. We've got a good minister, we've got two ministers really, we've got a permanent one and an associate one. They look very good. Fred Rudd, he's quite a down-to-earth person. He's been a minister for several years. He's also been a chaplain to the services. And reserves, and he's not one of these preachers that, you know, stuck up in his share of joke with him. He's quite a gentle person. The associate pastor, Dick Bennett, he's a quiet sort of man, but he's very caring, and this goes a long way with people. In fact, the other day I heard him saying he was in contact with somebody who left the church a couple of years ago, and he still kept in touch with them, and I think the person has come back to the church now. So, is there any questions you want to ask? Have you got spare space?
No, I haven't actually. I was going to run out. How many years have you been involved with the Bakersfield Baptist Church?
Since 2017. 1968. What do you see as
the main role of the church in the surrounding community?
Well, I suppose the main church is to preach the gospel, but I don't see that as the sole thing. I think it's to sort of get amongst the people and to care for the people. I think that's, I think that is really the most important role of the church. To, I mean, it's good to have a service on a Sunday and then shut the church up and not worry about food for the rest of the week. So I think it has two priorities, preach the gospel and care for the people here.
In what way
do
you think that the church has changed over the years?
It's got more social. It's not such a rigid sort of a church. even from 68 till now, it has changed in its activities now. People dress more casual, and the services are more casual. Yeah, that is the marked difference.
Can you explain to me what you believe
in relation to
what change
that has occurred
in
the church or in the marked change? There was a broad change. I don't think it has changed all that much, except what I've just said. Possibly, as you get older, you sort of miss out on the activities, but I think it's carried on pretty much as was always done. I don't think it's changed all that much.
What do you attribute the growth in the church over the last 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah, would you say that the growth in attendance numbers is a direct result in growth in population locally, or do you think it's a result of growing faith in the community?
That's a very interesting question, because our membership at the start of last year was 71, and at the annual business meeting last month it was down to 69. So it hasn't progressed in membership. We've got a lot more adherents, people have come and visit a lot more. I forget the exact number it was, but there's as many people come that are not members as there is members.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're down is because families have moved out, and we haven't replaced them with members. We've got a lot of people in the church that could become members, but for some reason they don't join. People don't like to commit themselves these days to, you know, to join the church. And, that is a very interesting point, that we're two down on last year in membership, 71 to 69. Yeah, 99
collected in
more
college,
which leads to
that
situation. Yeah, but that's not members.
That's not members.
No, that's what I'm saying. What do you say, 200? Well, you take 60 from that, you've got, you say 63? You've got 90 people that come that are not members. And of course, there's a lot of people that non-active members that don't come to the church, that they moved away, they kept on the roll. So, then I include in that 60
number.
When we've got the Joloshans, he was a minister, you know, him and his wife and the two children, they went to America. They have been back once or twice in, say, 3 years.
Both Mr. Denny and Mrs. Ronalds, through their answers and opinions, were able to provide me with added information and insight for my option. This was especially so concerning my concluding essay. A lot of what Mr. Denny said was useful for my report on the church's history, as well as a lot of what Mrs. Ronalds said about the make and mingle.